Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. Today begins what we'll call, just for fun, season two of the Real People, Real Coaching series. And today you're going to meet Melissa. This is our first coaching call, and we'll break it up just like we did with Kelsey into two parts. And this is the first part where Melissa introduces herself. And I think you'll click with her right away. She is a mom of five. She was a stay-at-home mom, is back at work. She's talking about retiring. She's looking towards the future. She and her husband they're in the process of moving. Like actually this week, they are moving during this very first coaching call. And I'm really happy that she reached out to me. And also, I wanted to point out that she's not behind in any way. And sometimes people feel that way. And I put her name through my email software and I realized she's been on my list since 2016. She purchased Simple Shortcuts to Peace in November of 2022. And then in March of 23, we did have a coaching call. But we're recording this in 2025. And it took a while for her to take that best next step for her. And if that sounds like you, that's okay because you're not behind and it all happens when it's supposed to happen. But I'm really happy and proud of Melissa for showing up for herself and asking for some help and some guidance. So you don't need to hear me rambling. So I'm Joyce going to come on in and we will introduce Melissa and you'll hear from her in her own words. Okay, we are here and I have Melissa with me. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm all right.
All right. So this is our first session. I know you and I have chatted before and I was going through my email software. You've been on the email list for quite a while. You are enrolled in Simple Shortcuts to Peace and we've had one in-depth coaching call. And it seemed like it wasn't that long ago, but it was. It was March of 23. Does that sound right?
That does sound right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks so much. What made you decide now is my time?
It's funny. And I mentioned this. We had the call in March of 23. And I thought I knew what I wanted to do with the rest of my grown-up life. But I was still very, very much engaged with the two children that I still had left at home of the five and didn't realize how much what they were doing was what I was doing until the next one left the nest. And then I just had the youngest at home. And again, longtime listener of the podcast, and it doesn't seem like it's been 2 years, but it has since we last visited. And one of the things I've always wanted to do was work for a nonprofit, which I was doing when we initially had our first phone call. But my favorite part of that job, and I was an executive director at the time, was writing grants. And I'd always wanted to do that full time. And in the 2 years since we last met, a really wonderful opportunity came up for me to downshift a little bit and move to a nonprofit in my hometown, which eliminated my commute, and focus solely on grant writing and fundraising. I had been an executive director at my previous position, and now I'm a grant writer. And so that gave me a little bit more time between the commute being eliminated and my job responsibilities shifting from all the things to just one of the things to really focus on myself and a slower life and a more peaceful life. And so I thought it was a great time for us to reconnect and kind of refocus what we talked about 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad. Okay. So it's interesting. So we're talking about slowing down, and yet you want to start a quote unquote side hustle, which seems like an oxymoron. And then also you're in the middle of a pretty big transition right now because your camera's blurred. So what exactly is going on right now?
So we are downsizing. 20 years ago, we bought a fairly good sized home in a rural area to raise our 5 kids. And we are down to one. And I would like to move back. We already had a much shorter drive to work, or I already had a much shorter drive to work. But I wanted a house that's in the community where we live. Some of it is obviously to simplify the commute, but a lot of it is in the rural area that we live. We fall across a separate county line from the county where my kids have always attended school, from where my husband and I do all of our shopping, also the community I grew up in. And I wanted to be able to vote in that community again. That mattered a lot to me. And I also really like now from a 15-minute drive to work, it's gone between 7 and 10 minutes from the new house to my office.
Good for you. Good for you. When you have kind of a large life decision like this, like packing up a house that you've lived in for 20 years and raised 5 kids, how is your decision-making process? Is it just like, this is the right step? I didn't know I wanted this. Or were you actively looking and the house came up? I'm just trying to see, like, in your 30s and early 40s, did you assume in your early 50s you had downsized? Or was this more of a like, huh, now's the time?
I don't think we did. My oldest brought it up with us at first. She thought it would be a great idea for us to live in a smaller space, a little bit more convenient space. And when she first brought it up, her dad and I shrugged and thought, okay, sure. But as time went on, it did make more sense. This house is very large. My husband pointed out there are rooms, I mean, kids' old bedrooms that we haven't been in. We don't go in except maybe once or twice a month to make sure the vents are working and everything's going on. And then we think, oh, we'll clear this space, and we don't. And so a lot of it is having a smaller space to care for. My children are concerned, which I think is funny because really we live one highway exit outside of the community that we live in. And so it's not that far, but And we're not that old. We are 53 and 55, but I guess my adult children are thinking ahead because they wanted us to be a little bit closer to medical facilities and things that I'm not sure we need to think about just yet, but they were thinking about. And this is a large house. It sits on just over an acre. There's a lot of maintenance involved in the yard. There's a lot of maintenance involved with the house. And honestly, I didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you raised very thoughtful and caring and empathetic children that they're worried about you and want you to do the next best thing for you and your husband. So that's very sweet. Yeah. Okay. For right now, and for the 6 weeks that we're going to be working together, what would make you feel accomplished and like, okay, that was worth it?
Well, we visited about this 2 years ago. In fact, the takeaway from our call 2 years ago was I've always wanted to write. And I remember the overall end of our conversation was, okay, just write. And that turned out to be not as easy as I thought it would be. Again, I was still very engaged in the life of my two children at home. And again, in the last 2 years, what we've wanted to do, my husband and I, and what we've prioritized has pivoted. Also, in the last 2 years, I have discovered ChatGPT, which has very much helped my ADHD brain make sense of what I want to write. The words are mine, which I appreciate, but I will, usually I will audio record into ChatGPT what I want the next chapter to say. And then I will ask ChatGPT to help me organize my thoughts. And again, still my words, but now they're in the right order and they make sense. And so I've really made a lot of progress in the last few months since I started doing that with the writing. Good and I very much feel like it's writing because ChatGPT often offers to edit for me, but I want the words to be mine. So
good for you. Good for you. Okay. So is the idea that you have a solid outline in these months, or the actual completed manuscript or a proposal? What are you looking for?
I want the solid outline because the more I add, the more I realize I have to say, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it's unwrapping an onion.
It is, exactly. And I mean, it's not an autobiography. I don't think my life has been that interesting, but it is fictional based on some of my life experiences. I've had some interesting ones. I've made some interesting pivots in my life. And then I have good friends that now that this is becoming a reality, oh, well, don't forget that, remember? And so I'm trying to decide what to add in, what to keep, and to keep it all in proper order that it would be interesting should I ever want to publish. But for the moment, I just want to make sure it's the story that I want to tell.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Out of your brain. And I, too, like ChatGPT quite a bit. I think if you go down the rabbit hole of robots are taking over the world, it can be scary. But if you use it as a tool, I think it's just great. I think of ChatGPT the same way I like to boss Siri around in simpler ways. You touched upon your ADHD. Do you want to expand a little bit on that?
I did not know I had it for most of my life. I was diagnosed, I'm 53 now. I was diagnosed when I was 50. And I've read that that is really common for a lot of women in their mid-40s to mid-50s to receive diagnoses because suddenly they realize, I just can't keep it all together anymore. And so I was diagnosed with that 3 years ago. And I don't take medication at the moment. I do cognitive behavioral therapy. I have a therapist and I do a lot of organizing and outlining. My take on ChatGPT is it only knows what I know. So I'm not really worried about it taking over the world. If you're familiar with the cartoon Arthur, it's more like Nadine, DW's imaginary friend, because Nadine is a good sounding board for DW, but Nadine only knows what DW knows.
Okay. So my kids grew up watching Arthur and I know the name DW and the name Nadine, but probably it was on in the background. So I didn't realize that Nadine was an imaginary friend. So I should revisit that. That's fascinating. That's really interesting. Okay.
So, well, and my kids, they're similar ages. They also grew up on Arthur. And I think Arthur was when I would actually take a break because it was funny. So anyway, I think it's a good tool. I use the paid version, but it is far less expensive than having an ADHD coach. Mm-hmm. And accomplishes what I need to with it. Again, I'm a grant writer. And so there's a lot of discussion about ChatGPT and grant writing. And as long as you understand that it only knows what you know, and actually sometimes a lot less than you know, and you have to catch it up with the correct information. So it doesn't scare me. I use it as a tool and appreciate it. And it's been a game changer for me because, again, I need a little help organizing my thoughts. They're good thoughts, but they don't always come out in the correct order. And so that's been very helpful. To-do lists. It helps with priorities and those kind of things.
I'm glad. That's great. In these next few weeks, is moving and packing going to dominate your time?
Yes. We own the house that we're moving from, which is wonderful because we are able to kind of room by room move things over. That was the game plan. We started actually moving yesterday, and I told my husband jokingly, this is the last time you and I buy a house together. So it will take up some time. And also we've been downsizing, and we're going to need to continue to downsize as we move into the space. We live in a two-story house currently, and basically we're losing the top story in terms of space.
Okay. So in these next few weeks, do you feel like, as far as time management and blocking some things out, prioritizing the house is the correct thing to do? And then figuring out time to write after that sort of crazy season of moving calms down? Or are you trying to envelop everything together right now?
I will prioritize moving, but I already have envisioned and know what I'm going to do with my writing space in the new house. And once I get that set up, there's no way I'm not going to sit down and use it because I'm very excited about it.
Okay.
And ADHD. So the new shiny thing.
Okay. And then in your questionnaire, you had also talked about, apart from writing the book, you're actually trying to establish your own home business. Is that correct?
Yes. So I am a grant writer, and I have a very specific focus at the job that I started a year ago. But I wrote a variety of grants in my former role. And so I thought it would be interesting to continue to write those other grants that are unrelated to what I do at my day job and be really helpful. It was my favorite part of the job, but a lot of executive directors always used a third party for that. And I'm very interested in becoming that third party. I think that's something that I am good at. And it's a way that I could pay things forward in other areas. I've either an employee or a volunteer. I've always been focused on nonprofits. My mom was growing up, and her mom was too. And so it's nice to know that I could still find a way to help that would also help support the new house.
Yeah. So financially wise, is the kind of home business and the writing process just for fun, or are you trying to supplement or replace an income?
I don't think I'm trying to replace an income. It would just be supplementing an income. But as we get closer to retirement, my husband and I, that seems like a good idea.
Okay. So as of right now, do you have a retirement age or retirement number that you're shooting for? Do you feel like you need help with coming up with that, or do you already feel like you've got some parameters in place?
Because I've listened to the podcast for a long time and been part of this Simple Shortcuts to Peace, I have some idea. Mine is going to be a little later than my husband's, because when you have 4 kids within 6 years and then 5 kids within 11 years, there were stretches where I was a stay-at-home mom, not because it was necessarily the best financial decision we could make, but because daycare was cost prohibitive to any other employment I could have. And so he has worked for the same place our entire marriage, which is coming up on 29 years. And he's starting to actually look a little bit at retirement. I've got a little ways to go because I did have that gap in the time before I worked full time when the kids all were in school.
Okay. How does that feel? Are you at peace with that?
I think a little bit. That's why I'm looking at a side hustle in case that would let me retire a little sooner. I really enjoy where I work and the people I work with and what what my job supports. And so I don't see myself wanting to give that up anytime soon. When he actually is able to retire, we might revisit that and want to spend a little more time together.
Okay. Okay. Like if you were to daydream and kind of had like a magic wand, where would you see yourself and your family in the next 5 years or so?
I'm going to think about that for just a second. In the next 5 years, I think he will be retired within the next 5 years or really close to it. I think maybe a little bit longer for me, but I would like to be in a position where if he and I want to travel a little bit, we're able to do that. He's more of a camper, which I am not.
Okay.
That was always what we talked about when we first were married, was at the time he envisioned himself purchasing an RV. Since then, in the last 29 years, we've realized we like having a house, but we'd like to be able to travel a little bit more together. So if I'm still full-time employed within the next 5 years, which is part of the plan at the moment, I would like to have more freedom.
Mm-hmm. What is flexibility look like? If you plan ahead, are you able to take time off? Is it the standard, yes, like 2 weeks?
Yes. I think it's the standard 2 weeks. It's cute. Like we add every month. And, so I think that comes up to 2 weeks per year. I apologize. I'm not.
No, that's fine. No, I just wonder, because this comes up an awful lot, and I'm going to ask you to do something that I've had other people do, is I would like for each of you to really come up with like a travel bucket list, separately first. Cause if someone really wants to go to Greece and someone never had that in their brain at all, it's kind of interesting to merge the two lists and decide on some top priorities and then see if you can kind of scratch that travel itch while you're still working in these next 5 years and maybe get some larger trips done while you're still very able-bodied and mm-hmm. active and things like that. I totally understand the idea of an RV and the kind of wanderlust and slow travel. My brain goes that way also. And it's very whimsical. And then when I actually start to crunch the numbers, I realize, oh, okay, this actually doesn't, the mathing does not work here for some of the ideas that I have.
Now, we discovered when the kids were little that we could rent an RV, and that was a much better way for us to maintain one and to use one. My husband is more of a national parks road trip stateside person. I've taken a few trips abroad with my children as the opportunities have come up through their schools. And so I know that when I want to do that, it will be with my adult children. And when I want to hit the road, that will be with my husband.
Yeah. Melissa, it sounds like things are kind of going really well for you. Do you feel like you're struggling in any areas?
To focus, which again is a byproduct of ADHD. And I can very easily get caught back up in hustle. Okay. I'm not sure, but I think something a lot of people with ADHD do is keep themselves really, really busy. Mm. And so I am very capable of overcommitting myself, and that's why I wanted some coaching, because I say, I love this new job and I want to start a side hustle and I want to finally write this book I've always wanted to write. But whether or not I'll actually do that without a little bit of help in prioritizing my time and coming up with an outline and kind of a path forward with the collaboration of someone else, I think I need that.
Okay. When you have big ideas, what usually happens? Do you follow through, or do you have like a bunch of projects you've stopped, started? What has been your usual?
I get really excited. I lean in for a few weeks, a few months, and then something else comes along that's really exciting. And I lean in over there, but I'm going to come back to the other thing. And I have done a lot of work with that, which is why I kind of have it down to I want to kind of work on a side hustle. I want to work on this book. But again, I do think coaching is important because what you're seeing today, this morning, is the result of a lot of stepping away from the shiny things. And I need to make that permanent.
Okay. When you, for lack of a better term, fail or don't follow through, what happens in your brain and your body?
It stays on the back burner and not in a good way. I feel really bad. I feel like, well, why can I accomplish this? Because, and I can look back and see all the tasks that I haven't done or things I've got excited about and haven't followed through with. And it doesn't feel great. And I'm not able to, trying to think of the right way to say this. I'm not able to give myself grace. That's probably a good way to put that.
Are you mean? Are you mean?
I can be to me more than anyone else, but I can be.
Yeah. I guess I'm just trying to see if this is just part of your process, that you stop, start things, but then you do kind of come back around and providing grace because this is part of Melissa's process. She does this and then she eventually comes back around. Or do you completely disappear from the task, never to pick it up? And then I'm just wondering what's going on in your brain, how much you beat yourself up. And then when you talk about giving yourself grace, what that would look like.
Well, I did mention that I do cognitive behavioral therapy. So I do have a therapist helping with the grace. I think if the project is important enough to me, that is something that I will come back around to. I did eventually become a grant writer as a job, which was always a goal. I'm still taking notes and working on this book, and I will forget that I've done that. And then I'll be, again, as I mentioned, we're downsizing. I have a lot of journals and scraps of paper where I have taken notes and written things down as it's occurred to me. I have documents in Microsoft Word where I've done the same thing as technology has progressed. So I think I come back to the things that are really important. I also have a basket full of nice yarn and all kinds of different size knitting needles. And that I come back around to a little bit less, although not quite ready to part with that yet.
Yeah. And then relationship wise, you, the relationships and with your kids and your husband, things are going well with your family?
They are now. That was one of the reasons for the therapy. Like most families, we really struggled during the pandemic and it brought to light a lot of things that I liked to pretend, or a lot of struggles I liked to pretend, or maybe I never noticed were happening as my kids transitioned from kids to adults. So we are in a good place. We work really hard at that. I make it sound like it's been easy and it has not. Yes.
Okay. Is that tender? Are you comfortable talking about any of that or?
More to protect the privacy of my adult children, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I can just see a difference in your face all of a sudden.
Yeah, there's a lot that has happened. And were we not doing this for a podcast, I might go into it a little bit more, but I respect their privacy. That is one of the things I've had to learn to do as they've become adults.
Yeah,
learn
fair.
That privacy. So there are, and I do have a therapist where we explore this a lot more. So yes, it is a tender subject, but probably not one that my children would like to hear on a podcast.
Got it. Totally fair. Thank you. Thank you for putting that boundary out. And I'm proud of you. I really am. Yeah.
Not that they will listen to the podcast, but they would be pleased to know that I have realized they're grown-ups with their own business.
Yeah. No, they are. Very cool. Okay. So, from a time management standpoint, what is working for you right now? Do you have like a regular wake up bedtime and this is what I do on a work day versus this is what I do on a stay home day?
We're doing better. I'm not great with a morning routine, and I know I should be. When I manage to get up early, I will kind of wander around the house, which is better than not getting up and not wandering around the house. But I'm not very focused when I'm sleepy, even with my coffee, work on that. And then when I leave work, for the moment, I go straight to the gym because it is much closer than the house, because again, we live off of the highway and it takes a little bit to get here. When I get home from the gym, I should have an evening routine. I should have things that I need to do before I go to bed. But I've been to the gym and I'm tired, and I usually have to jump right into either helping fix dinner or eating dinner. My husband and I take turns at that. And I still struggle to come up with a transition from evening to bedtime routine.
How do you sleep?
I sleep fairly well. A long time ago, you did a podcast about sleep apnea. Well, sleep quality, and mentioned sleep apnea. I have that, so I have my CPAP, and
Your
that is
CPAP?
helpful.
Okay. And was it a hard transition to get used to the CPAP?
When I have to change masks, it's a hard transition each and every time. But the CPAP itself, no, surprisingly no, because I thought that it would be.
Okay. Do you get do you wake up in the morning with the indent face?
Yes. I definitely have the creases on my face, but I do sleep better. And I dealt with a lot of insomnia 2 or 3 years ago, and I seem to have less trouble falling asleep now.
Okay. And then because you're in your early 50s, the perimenopause and menopause stage, how do you feel with that? Do you think all of the different diagnoses and focus on health correlated with that?
Absolutely. My body decided to start perimenopause simultaneously with a global pandemic. Do not recommend.
How thoughtful.
Right? And so, I mean, at least I got all the rough parts over with at the same time.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
So I am 53 now, and I think we're more in on the menopause side of things, and I think that's helped smooth things out a little bit, but I do think that that's where all of a sudden the diagnoses came from, because my version of coping with my ADHD was just gritting my teeth and getting through it, and my body reached a point where it wouldn't let me do that anymore.
Yeah. Okay, Steph here, and I'm going to stop this session right now, and we will pick up in the next episode where we're going into an additional part of Melissa's story, and it would be better to save it for the next episode. But I just want to recap at how brave it is to be vulnerable in this way and come on the podcast. And if you can send any messages of support my way to Melissa, I will send it along to her. If she resonates with you, if you have questions, or you're like, ah, this happened to me and I did this and you want to share that, that's fine. I like to protect everyone's anonymity, but I'm happy to pass along messages of support. I also want to recap some past podcast episodes. Okay. And then because this came up in the call, and I just want to make sure that you have the past podcast numbers to scroll back and listen to, Melissa shared that she too has sleep apnea. And in episode 18, way back in episode 18, I share how I came across my diagnosis and I too sleep with the CPAP machine every night. I also wanted to point out episode 151, which is talking about understanding capacity. And that's a really good one to listen to if you feel like you're at crossroads at some point and you just kind of feel like you're at your wit's end. That's a great listen. And then 192 is when I talk about perimenopause and menopause and how you really are your own best expert. Okay. Well, until next time, thank you for being here. And consider yourself loved and hugged. I think you're amazing and lovely and wonderful. I'll be back in your earbuds with Melissa next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.